Before I switched to Wealthfront, my APY was probably 0.1. Like, it was a joke.
I was literally getting pennies. Once I switched, cha-ching.
With the Wealthfront cash account, earn up to 4.2% APY on your cash.
The high APY with Wealthfront was a clear winner.
There are no petty fees.
Every month, there's this much that I'm getting in interest, and I didn't have to do anything. My money is working hard on its own, and I can trust Wealthfront is taking care of me.
Earn more on your uninvested cash with a Wealthfront cash account. No account fees, no minimums, and no strings attached. Get started today at Wealthfront.com. Clients were paid $1,000 for their testimonials, creating a conflict of interest. Outcomes vary. 3.3% base APY as of January 30th, 2026 is representative, variable, and earned on funds swept to program banks. 0.65% new client boost for 3 months on up to $150,000. Direct deposit $1,000 a month and fund an investing account for a 0.25% increase. Cash account offered by Wealthfront Brokerage, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC, not a bank. Fees and eligibility requirements may apply to certain checking features of the cash account.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Thursday afternoon. We are, for the first time on the show, practicing social distancing. I'm in my home. Willie's in his home. Chase in his home. I'm representing the south side of town. Willie's over on the east side of town. Chase on the west side. Elijah Campbell back at our Wholesale Link Studios powered by Rumble On. And we always look forward to our visits on Thursdays at 1 o'clock when we bring in Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet. And every week he's brought to you by Carrie Zier, Remax Elite. Elliot, how you doing?
Not bad. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're hanging in there. Let's just say, in our careers, this is a first. We've obviously never gone down a road like this. We're all adapting, and trying to do the right thing. And everybody needs to stay safe. How are things up in your neck of the woods in Toronto?
Well, you know that story that in China that 50% of marriages ended in divorce? I think we're headed in that direction.
Oh, no. This soon? Elliot, I thought you guys were stronger than that.
You know, it's pretty funny, actually. So my son's school didn't close until Monday, but we pulled him last Thursday. We were just careful. We thought that this was going to be coming, and you know, I've learned I'm probably the worst grade 3 math teacher in Ontario. But, you know, you make the best of it like everybody is. We're in really close quarters. I'm trying to do as much work as I can. You know, one thing about us and our jobs, guys, you know, technology has really allowed us to have almost as close to normalcy as anyone can have. You guys are in your homes, but we can still do our shows, right? It's harder to come up with stuff to talk with about, but we can still do our stuff. But I got to tell you, for my wife and son, they are the true champs because they have to battle to find things to do. So it's we're coming up with a schedule to homeschool them. It's a challenge. I'm sure many of your listeners are nodding and laughing. I got sent a picture yesterday, how to make your home office work, and it was a woman, a mother, sitting at her computer while her three kids were tied up on the floor. And that one just made me laugh.
That is outstanding. Well, we are definitely all adjusting. And I, too, we this time of year, Elliot, you know, the four of us, this is the hustle and bustle, man. Sports is crazy. The NHL season is winding down. And just, you know, March Madness was supposed to tip off today. I mean, it's a nutso time in the sports world. And so, you know, you get caught up in work so much this time of year. And I learned, to your point, what you were just talking about last night. Obviously, I'm spending a lot of time around the wife and the 8-year-old son. His big project last night was building a home, a Minecraft home. I don't even know what any of that means, but he was kind of walking me through that. And, you know, he's got a hot tub and a pool. And, you know, I don't even understand any of that stuff. But that's what we were doing last night.
Well, I got to tell you, I like your son's interest, because we're looking at thinking about putting a hot tub and a pool in here. So if he ever wants to visit the real thing, if we do it, you know, he's more than welcome. And if he knows how to build one, and give me any ideas from his Minecraft, we'll take it.
I love it. Well, I think he was playing up to his crowd. He knows Dad loves hot tubs and pools, so I think that's why he wanted to have that at his virtual home. So we talked about this week on the show, just kind of what was put out there by the players on possibly what this could look like down the road starting in July. I said, just my personal opinion, and Willie and Chase can obviously address this with you as well. I said, I won't ever say 0%, but I have it at like 1 to 2% chance of that being a reality. How do you feel about it and what you saw?
Well, the first thing I would say is I don't think it's an actual NHLPA proposal.
Okay.
I think that's one thing that got clarified to me pretty quickly. I got a call actually not long after that aired or a text. Then I had a phone conversation with one particular player rep in the league, and you know, he said to me, if you're going to report on that, it's not an official NHLPA proposal. I think there were a couple of players in a chat group talking about it, and it got out, as things tend and ideas tend to do at this time of year. You know, one thing we've learned is that the league wants to have there's two things I think the league looks at. They want to give a Stanley Cup this year, officially for the 2019-2020 season, and they want to have an 82-game season next year. Now, we don't know if that's all going to happen, but that is the goal. So I think anything that compresses next year into anything less than 82 games, I don't think they're interested in that. So I think I think the goal, if you didn't see it, Adrian Wojnarowski is the great NBA reporter. He reported 2 days ago that the former U.S. Surgeon General was on a conference call with the NBA Board of Governors, and he told them a lot of pain in the short term, and you know, maybe you can get something going by mid-June or early July. So the way I think, guys, like, we have no choice right now. I know our minds are racing a mile a minute. We're not going to know until probably about the end of April where we really are. So all we can do is wait. But I look at it from the NHL's perspective, and the NHL's perspective is get a Stanley Cup done this year and have a full season next year. So what I think that means is we've probably played our last regular season game. I can't imagine there'll be any, maybe an exhibition game or something, but I don't think we'll see much more in terms of the regular season. And then we're going to go into an expanded, a unique, potentially crazy, and as far as I'm concerned, the crazier the better, playoff format to crown a Stanley Cup champion this year.
Okay, that's okay. One, you know, I'm not saying that because we're rooting. We want hockey, of course, but I'm trying to be realistic because I'm with you. Look, if we are talking about July or even like you said, mid to late June, early July, to me, like the regular season, and I also said this when we were talking about it, that's just not going to happen. To me, that has to go away. And one other thing that I did want to pass along, last thing on my end, and I want to see if you agree or disagree. I've kind of been putting this out there, like let's please stop comparing this to the strike shortened season, the half year, because it's not the same, because we have to think about the players and getting back in shape, and everybody saying, give them a week training camp or so and they'll be ready to go. No, that is not an apples to apples comparison. Those players all disappeared and went off and were playing in other leagues. They continued playing while there was no hockey. So, you know, most of them were already in shape because they had been playing. Right now, these players, we've been checking in, you know. Craig Smith is painting. Roman Josi is playing with his dogs, you know. The Ekholms are out rollerblading in the streets with their child, with their son in a stroller. I mean, they're not playing hockey games abroad, so it's not an apples-to-apples comparison. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree with that. I mean, I think the one thing is that, you know, I think that at least because of most of these guys had played somewhere between 68 and 70 games, at least they were ramped up to a point. I do think the league is going to look at how soon will they be allowed to get together in small groups. Like, obviously, it might have to be 10 or less, maybe only 4 or 5. Initially, I know they hope that could have happened at the beginning of next week that guys could maybe go out in groups, small groups, and skate and throw the puck around and do a little practicing. I think that's been pushed back. I don't think there's, I don't think that's going to happen in the short term. You know, so I agree with you. But the thing is it's, this is going to be imperfect, and we all know it. And basically, when they get the all clear that they're going to be able to play, you know they're going to try to come back as quick as possible and just hope that guys do a good enough job of keeping themselves in shape.
Elliot Friedman is with us from Sportsnet, and we are talking the state of things as we move forward here. So, Elliot, I saw in your 31 thoughts here the coverage that you guys did on the player for the Ottawa Senators who has tested positive. We've certainly noticed, you know, as we follow things, there are some high-profile people, whether in sports or out of sports, that have tested positive, or a loved one has, or maybe they have a connection with somebody in the medical field, and they use that to be able to pass along the message of, hey, I've got it, but I want everybody to know this is serious, things like that. And this player, I guess, has chosen anonymity here. How has the story been covered up your way with that particular case?
Well, it was a big story because it was the first NHL one. And if you look at the NHL's original statement when they announced they were pausing the season last week, their statement indicated they knew that positive tests were coming. And so I don't think anybody was surprised, but I think that, and of course we all knew somebody was going to get it, but I think it was still, you know, a bit of a shock that it actually occurred. It's a real awakening. It's here. It's in the NHL now. And, you know, one of the things, guys, I think that's been difficult for people is to, you know, especially in the league, is to remain optimistic at this time. Like, I think this and the next week or two, these are the most pessimistic times, because we're now going through what people in Asia went through and people in Europe went through. We're seeing the numbers go up. We're forced to stay home. We're worried about the economic ramifications. You know, we see, like, you know, we're all trying to be responsible here, social distancing, you guys doing it from our home, me working from my home office, but we see those kids in Clearwater that aren't, and it's very frustrating. And, you know, so I think this is a bit of a pessimistic time, and seeing that player test positive, I think, was also made it even more pessimistic. But to me, we were bound to go through this. And, you know, I think that, you know, some of the questions we had was, okay, what does that mean? How widespread is this? Are there any more Ottawa players who are showing symptoms? And there were some reports yesterday that there were. You saw the statements last night released by the Kings and the Ducks that none of their players were showing symptoms. But so obviously it was a big story up here. It's died down a little bit today, but yesterday, I mean, that was a lot of what we were talking about.
I noticed too, you pointed this out, and maybe there are some people, because we're not an NBA city here. Memphis is 3 hours down the road, but one thing that has become apparent, and I think there's reasonable to say there's good communication between the NHL leaders and the NBA leaders, the intertwining of the schedule, the buildings that are being shared, mm-hmm. the locker rooms in some cases are being shared, hotel rooms, as we've heard John Forslund yes. tell his story. He just did an interview with one of our local reporters. He happened to have the room that Rudy Gobert was in, and so as a safety, he is quarantined. I mean, full-on quarantined for a while. But the intersection of the two leagues are important, so I'm sure the communication between the two leagues as how do they proceed going forward is just as important.
Well, I would be shocked if those two leagues weren't communicating every day. And I've got to think they're getting a lot of the same information. If you look at their messaging, a lot of it is very similar. So there's no – and don't forget that when they initially announced the change in the media guidelines, it was on the same letterhead. The NHL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, and Major League Soccer – they all announced that together. That was no coincidence. That was four leagues getting the same info and knowing exactly how to coordinate a response. So you know they're getting all the same information. And you know what? When it's over and we finally get games back, you know that people are going to be starving for sports, never mind sports reporters like ourselves. The general public, they are going to be starving for games. So you know these leagues are getting all the up-to-date information on, okay, how soon can we plan, and we've got to be ready. And I think, you know, if you take a look at it, you know, the U.S. and Canada have announced the border is going to be closed except for essential travel. You know, earlier this week, the league said, okay, you can go wherever you want, but you got to go now and you got to self-quarantine for 14 days after you get there, because you had to think they knew. So I do think they're getting a lot of the same information, high-level information, and I wouldn't be surprised when they get the all-clear to finally do some things, whether they're in empty stadiums or not, they're going to all hit the ground running at around the same time, because people are going to be starving to watch sports.
What, one more for me quickly, Elliot, before I turn it over to Chase for a couple of questions here. You, in your 31 thoughts, I thought it was great insight. You had a chance to talk to John Hines. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, this is all on the shelf for now, but I think it's a good insight on what he's about, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to release it. We're probably going to release the John Hines one next week. If you guys aren't tired of listening to Hal Gill, I think his is coming out tomorrow. We did a really long one with him because we wanted to tie in the Nashville tornado relief in it, so we wanted to get it out early. And, you know, we talked a lot about Hal's career, and then Brian Burke came in, and he interrupted everything like he normally does because he wanted to get six questions in. So that one's coming out tomorrow. But the one with John Hines will probably release next week. And basically, you know, we talked – I really like dealing with John. I'm sure you guys have had the same experience. He's blunt. He's honest. He tells you – if he's going to answer your question, he's going to answer it straight. Like, I know I'm getting the honesty from him. And I talked to him about, you know, you guys have had situations where some of your best players have been benched. I remember the night in Vancouver where Philip Forsberg got benched for pretty much the entire second period. And I asked him about his process with that, because a lot of coaches don't like doing that with their best players. And I thought he gave a really good answer about, look, basically there's a reason I'm coaching this team now, in the sense that he wasn't supposed to be there, but you made a change because the team wasn't going right. And, you know, he said, I told players that, you know, there's a certain work ethic and level of competition we expect. And if it's not here, you're not going to play. And he said that the players deserve credit because they've adjusted. They've gotten better as of late. But obviously there was a time where it wasn't happening. And I asked him if he would go into any specific conversations he had. And that question can be a third wire question or a third rail question, because I've had some coaches absolutely snap at me for asking something like that before, saying, don't you dare ask me what I tell my players in private. But he said, he talked about one with Victor Arvidsson where Arvidsson was struggling, and he praised Arvidsson as a great player for you guys, who's accomplished a lot in the league. And he said, you know, Victor, if you were the coach, would you have you playing 18 or 20 minutes right now? And he said, Arvidsson answered honestly, no. He says, would you be better right now if I played you 14? And Arvidsson answered honestly, yes. He says, okay, now my job is to get you basically back from 14 to 18. But if you do these things, we'll get back up there. And he said, to his credit, Arvidsson's gotten back up there. And I just really liked the fact he was willing to share that window, because, like I said, I remember early in my career, there's a football coach up here named Don Matthews, and he said, don't you ever ask me what I talk to my players about in private. And so you never know what kind of response you're going to get to that question.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, and as we continue this conversation, Elliot, about when the schedule might resume and whether you do regular season, you do playoffs, as the guys brought up earlier, you're going to have some sort of training camp and getting guys back on the ice. How much do you think that affects older players that, you know, might be thinking that this was their last year, they were going to hang it up? Do they really want to go through the process of a training camp and then only to play a handful of games?
Well, I think what's going to happen there is that Look, here's the reason I think, Chase, your answer is yes. First of all, Chase, do you get paid for the first 7 minutes of this interview? You could have gone and gotten, like, a beer or something like that. You could have to sit back.
It's his bathroom break.
Yeah.
You know, Chase, look, I think there's a couple of things here. I think everybody recognizes this is a unique situation. And you have to pull together for the betterment of the league. And I've been told if there's no playoffs this year, if they get canceled, I've been told that they're worried their escrow, which for those of you who aren't familiar with this, the amount of their salary that will get withheld from every paycheck to make sure that the split is 50-50 players league of revenues that's determined by the CBA. I've been told that their share of escrow could be between 30 and 40%. Now, just imagine, everybody listening to this, that between 30 and 40% of your paycheck was held back every time. You would be insanely angry. And everybody would be. It's frustrating. So I think the players know if they come back, they're coming back in a unique playoff structure that's interesting, that will capture eyeballs, that will be new and different, and it will help the revenues of the league. Do I think that there would be some players, Chase, who would say, oh, my God, I'm coming all the way back to play, I don't know, two games? If you get enough. Like if they, let's say they have a 24-team tournament, the top four on each the conference get byes, and the next 16 have to play for eight spots. And say it's two-game series that they figure out. And then someone says, what, I played two games and now I'm done again? I can understand how that would be annoying, but right. I think for the greater good of what you need to accomplish, you have to deal with that. I mean, look, this is a crazy, unique, hopefully once-in-a-lifetime situation. You've got to think of the bigger picture.
Do you think that this might change the strategies of general managers when they approach – mainly free agency or trades this summer, whenever the off season actually takes place, because of this downtime in this unique situation?
I think it's possible. Well, because one thing is the salary cap. You know, the number I've heard that $1 billion in revenues could be affected. That's last year. This league was a $5 billion in revenue league, so that's 20%. Now the cap is 81.5 this year. The estimate at the most recent GM meetings, which were 2 weeks ago, was somewhere between 84 and 88.2. It's unlikely to get there now. As a matter of fact, I think what you're going to see is that the league and the players are going to negotiate a number that won't squeeze everyone too much. Like I could see it being the same as it is this year, 81.5. And so I think that will affect a lot of shopping. No question about that. I think it's very possible that, a lot of plans are going to be changed. I think the other thing, too, guys, is that there were some situations, I think, where owners were thinking of making changes, whether it was with their GM or their coach. This might change all that now, too. So I think this is kind of throwing a big spin cycle into the way things are getting planned. And, you know, I mean, look, you guys are in an NFL city. You guys know how crazy that CBA vote was last week. How many people do you think voted? Like, the NFL seems to be everything proof. But how many of those players do you think voted and said, I don't know where the world is going here, so I'm going to take the security of the deal? I bet you quite a bit of the non-superstars did. And I bet you a lot of hockey teams will think the same way.
I think you're on to something. I think you're definitely right about that. All right, last thing real quick, Elliot. Right now, 50%, over, under, you think the NHL draft, forget us whether it's a public gathering. I mean, 50% over, under that the NHL draft will take place on June 26th and 27th. How would you answer that?
I will say under 50%
under.
Takes place on June 26th, 27th. And I'll say it because I'm an optimist who believes we will be playing. Okay. And I believe the NHL draft most likely will be done by the video conference. Maybe they take it somewhere small and invite 10 players. like they did in 2005, but I think it's more likely than not we do it by video conference.
Okay, fair enough. Hey, we wish you nothing but the best with surviving with your family. We feel like we believe in you. We feel like you guys can make it. You can get this done.
I hope so. I hope you guys are right. You guys too. I'm glad we're still talking. I want the normalcy. Once a week, we should all be chatting with each other.
No doubt about it. Elliot, appreciate it as always. Thanks for doing this. We'll talk to you next week.
You guys take care.
All right. That is Elliot Freeman from Sportsnet. 31 thoughts in every week on Thursdays at 1 o'clock. He's brought to you by Carrie Zeier, RE/MAX Elite. We'll hit on some of the things you just heard on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good stuff as always from Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet 31 Thoughts. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Thursday afternoon as we were talking hockey with Elliot. The Predators, while we were doing that, have inked forward. His last name is Smith to a one-year contract. Chase just skimmed over that quickly and thought
I did.
That Smith was Craig Smith. It's not Crazy Legs. It's Cole Smith, not Craig.
And then I said, Cole, who is Cole?
Yeah. He's an undrafted guy.
I'm sure a lot of people are confused.
North Dakota.
Like, hey, wait a minute.
University
of
North Dakota.
How are they signing people? What's the deal? Well, I thought the trade deadline was passed. So what they've decided to do, this is the time of the year, and you will recall, and I hate to bring his name up, but Jimmy Vesey, right? This is the time of the year where players that have exhausted their eligibility in college are basically unrestricted free agents. And so they have decided, like the NFL, to continue to do transactions like that. And so there are players like Smith out there. Obviously, the Frozen Four has been canceled, just like everything else in the NCAA. So all those players who have completed eligibility have become eligible to be signed by anybody. So the Predators, I'm sure, have been scouting him for a while, and they've inked him to a deal.
Indeed they have. All right, so how would you guys answer the final question to Elliot? We know the NFL draft is not going to happen in Las Vegas at the end of April, but looks like they're going to figure out a way to still conduct the draft, but it's not going to be the way that they've done it in the past. This is their offseason. Elliot answered it under 50% chance that the NHL draft takes place on June 26th and 27th because he believes they will be back, and so they're going to have to push it later on because they're going to be back trying to figure out a way to crown a Stanley Cup champ. So I'll ask you guys, Willie, I'll start with you. Over under 50% chance that the NHL draft takes place on June 26th, 27th. I don't know. I'm not asking you if it's going to take place in Montreal. I think we know it's not going to probably be a public gathering, but just do you think it's going to happen at its normal date? As we sit here today.
I think Elliot said it the way that that it is. If they're not playing by that time, in other words, if there's no playoff action or, you know, high intensity games that are determining who gets in wherever they are on the time clock there, if they're not playing, then they will have the draft online. I would think there's no reason not to, in my mind, anyway. So the question is, like Ellie was saying, is there what are the odds that they're playing? I know that there are a lot of health officials to err on the side of caution, and they would probably tell you the chances are pretty low, if any, that they can play at that time. So I'm going to say that the draft will – so I guess I'm a little less optimistic than Elliot in my mind. So I will say the draft goes on in some sort of online form like the NFL is doing.
Okay, so you answer
at about
over.
75-80%.
Okay, all right, so you go way over. Chase?
Over 50%. Over,
yeah.
50%.
Yeah. Yeah, you go way over 50%, yeah.
Yeah,
Chase?
I'm under.
I would go over, yeah.
I'm under. I think that they're going to figure out how to get some sort of season resumed, whether it's just playoffs or what have you. But I think that they're going to be playing hockey at that point. And so the draft's going to have to be moved. And, you know, it'll obviously be different. But I'm with Elliot on this one that I'll go under 50%.
You know, there's already football bets.
The other scenario
out there
is you could. I mean, could you have the draft? Could you have the draft while you would have a makeshift playoff situation going in a best-case scenario? You would say they would postpone it until you would have end the season at that point?
No, you're not going to ask front offices while their teams are in the playoffs to be conducting a draft. And on the same token, why would you bury your draft during your playoffs? I mean, you're taking away attention from your sport because something else is going on. So no,
Major League Baseball does it to the college baseball.
Yeah, I know. And how's that worked out for them?
It's terrible.
True.
Right.
Tim Corbin's been very outspoken about it.
Rip them for years about
sure.
it. It's a stupid system. So, I don't think you strive to be like baseball. Baseball's system sucks when it comes to their draft. I mean, they've got to figure out a better way to do it.
I mean, obviously you would. Well, I think they've listened to us and they've moved it back to at least the College World Series. But it's, there's no other hockey going on. Baseball has to do it. They have to get that new wave of players in the minor league system during their season. At least I think they do. You wouldn't draft guys before their last college season started, would you?
How many days does Major League Baseball need for their draft? I know they go, 120 rounds. How many days do they need? You were drafted in the what?
They used to go as many rounds as they wanted.
118th round? You were like Mike Piazza?
25th. Thank you. I was way before Mike Piazza.
Why don't you say that more? Why don't you bring that up? Why don't you say, look, lay off me. I was drafted before Mike Piazza. Come on. He's a Hall of Famer.
Now, I don't think it was the same year.
No.
In terms of rounds, we weren't the same year. I think he was already the Rookie of the Year by the time I was drafted. But I think it's now a three-day thing, NFL.
I thought it was three days.
I think the limit is 40 rounds now.
The reason I'm asking is why wouldn't you? If you're baseball, we've talked about that awkward week of the All-Star Week, right? Where there's not much going on. You've got a home run contest on Monday, and then you've got an All-Star or whenever they do it, and then the All-Star game, and now they've extended out, right? They want more and more time off. So why wouldn't you conduct your business during those days when there's nothing going on in the sports world? Why not have your draft?
It would make sense.
Now, I know that the counter would be, well, because we want to do it earlier so we can get these guys. Well, so what? That's okay. That's just a little bit later. This is just a little bit later. Why wouldn't you do that to shine a little bit more light on your sport when you've got nothing going on in the sports world?
Well, it brings up a good question, Darren, from the NHL. Back to your original question. Put our fingers crossed right now. Let's just hope that in the coming weeks, as we wait this out, maybe we learn a little bit more that we don't know right now as people research round the clock about what makes this disease tick. Why is it spreading? Who is it affecting more? Is it what we thought or is it not quite what we thought? How are we adjusting? If they find out that, realistically, nobody is going to play before, let's just throw out an arbitrary date, July 1st, could the NHL then move their, or let's say more optimistically, June 15th, and the draft is scheduled for, what did you say, June 26th or something? Why not move the draft up so that you can get it in? You know it'll be in before anybody can play. You're not going to do any more evaluating than you've already done. I know people are concerned about that because you're not going to have the normal thing, but why not go ahead and do it and then
Sign me up. Where's the paperwork? I'll sign me up.
I agree.
I don't even know why that's not being proposed. Why are you talking about pushing back? Like you said, right now, you've got a certain window where you're not going to have anything that's going to interrupt that. So why wouldn't you? I mean, you're already not going to have a public gathering. So it's already been, it's going to be changed, I would think, already. So why not, however you plan on doing this, why aren't you talking about something earlier rather than later? I'm with you 100%.
I think it would be a way to engage scouts. You wouldn't be able to travel anymore. We know there are restrictions there, but think about too, we've seen, like, let's just take the example of the hockey news, right? That's been a staple of NHL coverage for decades. They've laid a bunch of people off, right? Reporters need something to report on, so this would certainly serve the hockey industry of giving some people, you know, something to sink your teeth in. Just like we are all devouring all of this NFL news, even though it's just transactional, just because it gives us something to report on and discuss, right? There's a big value in that.
Oh. Yeah, absolutely. And I do have, as we have this conversation, a friend of mine sent me some odds of, and this is from Bovada, which North American sports league will return to action first? And any guesses on the favorite?
Which one will return first?
How could why would they not all return on the same day?
I was gonna say what?
Well, because I mean,
they're all gonna return the first day that they're allowed to do it.
But, I would say,
tell me what they are. I have no idea.
Okay,
how to answer that.
Let me guess this, just because it's less trickier for them. So I'm going to answer it this way. I have no idea who's the favorite is, but I'm going to say less trickier stuff to work through. So I'm going to go with MLS.
You would be wrong. They are plus 550.
Wow, they're not even close.
Yeah.
the NHL odds on this tell you how crazy the odds makers are.
Yeah, the NHL is even.
Even. Wow.
MLB plus 190, NBA plus 400.
Well, MLB would have been my next. I was going to go MLS because MLS is so spaced out, right? They play like you know, one game during the week and then a game on the weekend. To me, it just felt like that would be less hurdles to jump over. My next guess would have been MLB. But you're saying NHL is the favorite?
Yeah, it even.
Wow.
Even money.
Wow. That is a little bit surprising.
What does it say about us that we can bet on this?
That's completely crazy. That was my first thought when you threw this out there. But you heard Elliot say that the NHL is so reliant on getting games played for all the reasons he was saying, the revenue sharing, the gate, all of that. But that doesn't mean that they're not going to make the absolute right decision on when the right time is. I was curious, Chase, if you were going to say that the NFL was on that list somewhere.
Not according to this, but I would think the longer this goes.
Don't you think it's a reasonable thing? It's not out of the
realm. Absolutely.
That the NFL, if everybody just can't complete their season in a worst-case scenario, and God forbid we get to that.
Well,
by the way, speaking of the first one back.
Let me just tell you, I've got odds. I can save it on the other side from our buddy Jimmy Shapiro, and it's all NFL related, and it's like Tom Brady and Patriots wins and losses, but all these bets, and it says the side note is it's all contingent on you win that bet in a 16 game season. So in other words, a full season.
Interesting.
So everything is about the only way to cash in is if it's on – these are based on a full football season, which I thought was pretty interesting.
By the way, Formula One has canceled the Grand Prix of Monaco, which is a huge event that takes place Memorial Day weekend.
Yep. Yeah, that's no surprise. I'm surprised that hasn't already been put out there. All right, we'll come back. We'll hit on some of that stuff on the other side to close out Thursday's show. But first, I want to talk to all the men out there. I've been telling you for years about my friends over at Cool Springs MD, and they know a lot of you have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is front and center on that quest to helping you. He's the board-certified physician over there. His wife, Daphne Lodge, is the registered nurse, and they've got a very experienced staff that want to give you men the treatments that are required to improve your quality of life. And who doesn't want that as we all get older? And their services have already helped a lot of you here in the Middle Tennessee area and surrounding areas with improving your immune systems, your energy levels, your cognitive function, and so much more. They're there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. There's no better time to achieve that healthy lifestyle than right now. What are you waiting for? Pick up the phone and make that appointment by dialing this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291, or you can always go to their website, coolspringsmd.com. All right, I've got a long list of betonline.ag odds. I mean, a long. And we're not even going to get to all of them.
Love it.
Long? How can it be long? There's no
game.
You
think we've got time? Jimmy's got time. Jimmy Shapiro's
Jimmy's
got time.
Jimmy's got time.
Because this is like 5 pages, a list of odds. And so I'll try to hit on some of these. Let's see. Some that are intriguing. All right, let's do a little quarterback shuffling, because it is interesting as we sit here on Thursday afternoon and players can sign and players are signing, but yet we've got a lot of quarterbacks that are out there that have not signed yet. And so there's a little bit of wait and see. So let's start with Andy Dalton. Who do they have as the favorite to be with in week one? Who do they have Andy Dalton the favorite as to where he's going to land?
The New England Patriots.
Third, 6-1.
Really? I thought they'd be the favorite.
Yes! Really? They're third. Willie.
Andy Dalton. He will be going to the Jaguars.
The Jags are way down the list. Let's see. 8. 16-1.
I will say the LA Chargers.
LA Chargers are 12-1. They're 7th, just above the Jags.
Wow. I thought Chase had hit on one of the top two there.
Okay.
I need to look at a list of teams here.
That's exactly what. Okay, then I'll go.
It's hurting me.
All right, one more, and then we'll move on. I'm gonna
Miami.
Give you guys answers. Miami is the favorite.
Really?
Okay.
Miami's the favorite. The Redskins are the second favorite, followed by the Patriots, the Carolina Panthers, the Bucks, the Cowboys, the Chargers, the Jags, the Saints. Cam Newton, where's he landing? Who's the favorite?
Chargers.
Chargers seem to be a popular guess, not even on the list.
Really?
Somebody's got a big quarterback for the Chargers. Who's going to quarterback?
Well, we'll get there. We'll get there. That's the next question. The next question. Where's Cam going?
Okay, they need a quarterback. Patriots.
Patriots are second. 2-1. Second, 2-1. Dolphins are third, 5-2. Jags are 9-1. Broncos 16-1, Raiders 16-1, Steelers 28-1, Bengals 40-1, Redskins come in as the favorite for Cam.
For Cam, okay. Yeah, that would be a very Redskins move to get Cam. Yeah,
of course it would. Chargers, who is the favorite to be their starter week one?
Man.
I know. See, that's why I brought this up, because it's not going as planned. I figured this would come off as some serious curveballs, and it's worked.
Well, I will say
I'm going to guess John Freeze. John Freeze.
John Freeze is the guess. Not on the list.
Stan Humphries. Stan Humphries.
Dan Fouts.
Had a lot of success with Stan. They appreciated his services, but he is not on the list.
I will say Tyrod, not Tyrod Taylor.
That is correct. He is the favorite. Justin Herbert is the second favorite. Jameis Winston, third at 7-1, followed by Andy Dalton, followed by Tua, followed by Jordan Love, followed by Jake Fromm. And then last, so a bunch of draft picks. And last on the list at 100-1, Colin Kaepernick.
Why? Why is he even on the list?
I have no
just because,
earthly idea.
Because it's fun.
But
because
he's not on any. I don't see him on any of the other list. Just the Chargers.
What do we have? Is there any question of like what is Winston's favorite?
That's next. Winston's favorite is 1-1.
Cincinnati.
How about that? 1-1.
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, not even on the list.
I guess they're going to draft Burrow, so it's already a foregone conclusion.
Man, I would think so. Okay, well, we've discussed the Chargers.
Mm-hmm. Well, I already told you he was the Chargers on the Chargers list.
Yeah,
7-1, but that's third.
Yeah. Jags.
Jags 8-1. Dolphins 1-1.
Not the Patriots.
Dolphins.
Dolphins 1-1.
So staying in Florida.
Yep. Washington, 3-1.
Is Pittsburgh on that list for him?
What I'm getting from this list, no. What I'm getting from this list is Steelers are not on there. That the Redskins definitely are not in love with their first-round pick from Ohio State. Right? I mean, why are the Redskins?
Doesn't feel that way.
I mean, don't forget, don't they have Alex Smith still? What's his status?
He's not going to play.
Yeah,
is he done?
I have not heard anything.
I mean, is there anything official on him? But
no,
not official. But I think I holding out hope against hope, maybe.
Just curious because he's on there. The Patriots starting quarterback. Who's the favorite?
Jared Stidham.
Yeah.
Stidham 3-2. Cam Newton 2-1. Dalton 6-1. Jameis Winston 6-1. Jacoby Brissett 7-1. Derek Carr 14-1. Followed by Cody Kessler, Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo was on the list, by the way, at 33-1.
Yeah,
Joe Flacco, Eli Manning. That's a little bit silly.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, there you go.
By the way, just real quick. That, like I said, this goes on and on. What do you think the odds are that they've got the Olympics being canceled? What's the favorite, yes or no?
Yes.
Canceled or moved back?
Canceled. 2020.
Canceled?
Tokyo Olympics. Canceled. What's the favorite?
It's got to be yes.
Yes, minus 300. No, plus 200.
Sounds right.
Yes, is the pretty sizable favorite.
Becoming a big worldwide question, for sure.
Yep. All right, guys. We pulled it off. We did it. Let's do it again tomorrow.
All right. We won't see you then. We'll just talk to you.
I won't see you. We'll just talk. Everybody have a great rest of your Thursday. We will indeed be back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. to finish up the week. We will talk to you then.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.